If you have your copy of God's Word with you, let me ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, and we'll be reading from verses 21 down to 17. Matthew 21, beginning in verse 12. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a robber's den." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, he never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, 'You have prepared praise for yourself.'" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. Beloved, that's the word of our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the magnificence of your word. We thank you that from beginning to end, it points to our Master, to our Savior, to our Redeemer. We pray now, Lord, as we open your word and take a few moments to consider it, we ask that your Spirit would guide us, that, Lord, you would speak to us mightily this morning. Let us hear and see the words of Christ. That is our prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had just left the region of Perea, which exists on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And he crossed over the Jordan River into the city of Jericho. And when he came to Jericho, he healed two blind men. And from Jericho, Jesus made his way towards Jerusalem for the final time. And as he began that final journey, he stopped in the little city of Bethany to stay with his friends Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And this was on a Friday. And then 2 days later, on Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem. As we just read together just a moment ago, he entered Jerusalem riding a little donkey to the cries of those in the city, an eruption, as they cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." What a day. What an occasion. And after Jesus had entered Jerusalem that day, the scripture tells us, in the evening he returned to Bethany. The following day, which was on Monday, Jesus went back to Jerusalem. And this time he went to the temple. And this is significant for us today, because what we want to understand is what's going on in the temple that we just read from this text, from the Word of God. What's happening here, really? And as we consider these things this morning, just for a few moments, there are a number of questions that we'll ask as we lead our way through what's really going on in the temple with Christ at this particular time. And the first question is very simple. What did Jesus do in the temple? What did he do? Well, Jesus entered the outer court of the temple, which is open to both the Jews and the Gentiles. In fact, it was known as the court of the Gentiles. And many had traveled to Jerusalem into the temple for the occasion of the Passover. And as they came to the temple, they were met by a number of merchants who were selling sacrifices for Passover. And if I can say it this way, business was booming. Business was booming. Some were selling oxen and sheep. In fact, they sold them at premium prices, and they had to, because it cost them money to have a place in the temple to be able to sell these sacrifices. They paid for these places. They paid off, if you will, the temple priests, who also gave their cut to the high priest, Annas, to the high priest Annas. And all of them were getting rich. All of them were rich in themselves, Annas and Caiaphas. And some were selling pigeons and turtle doves. The scripture allowed for those who couldn't afford to purchase a lamb for Passover to buy a pigeon or a dove. And even then, though, these merchants were making money. They would charge what should cost a quarter in our current day, $4, $5, $12, $15 for doves for the sacrifice. And so they were making money that way. And some were money changers. Those would sit with their knees crossed behind little tables that were covered with coins. Because in the temple, you couldn't pay for a sacrificial animal with foreign money. It had to be exchanged for Jewish money. And so they would exchange that money. Also, there was a tax to pay to the temple for the opportunity to offer a sacrifice. And so you had the money changers, and they would exchange this money and take their cut as well. In fact, it was a profitable business just like the other guys. And even for those who were honest without taking advantage of those who pilgrimed to Jerusalem, they made money. As Jesus walked into the court, and as he saw this, he saw the hustle and the bustle of those who were buying and selling. And he heard the animals in the court as they were waiting to be sold. He heard prices being quoted. He heard the exchange of money, the jingling of the coins in the temple. He even smelled the stench of the animals in the court of the temple as they waited to be sold and sacrificed. And so Jesus witnessed what had become of the Passover in Jerusalem, in the temple, that which God had given to them as a holy remembrance, a holy sacrifice, had become nothing more than really a mockery, a festival for making money. What was Passover? You know, Passover was given, you may recall, to the Jews the last night they stayed in the land of Egypt. And God brought his final judgment to the Egyptians, where he declared that the firstborn of every household, whether man or beast, would die unless the blood of the Passover was applied to the doorposts of the household. And so as death approached, those who had the blood of the Passover on the household doorway were spared from death, according to the judgment of Almighty God. So this was Passover. And from that point forward, for centuries, according to the Word of God, the people remembered Passover. They brought sacrifices, all of which pointed to the Passover, to the one who would come, whose blood would be spilled once for all as the Passover for his people. And 4 days from this point, in this text, 4 days from this point, Christ himself, he would give himself, he would go to the cross as the Passover. We consider this and we think, what must have been going through his mind at this time as he walked into the court? He was preparing himself to go to the cross. He was preparing himself to be the Passover lamb, again, whose sacrifice would cover the sins of all of his people once for all. He was preparing himself for that. And as he surveyed this scene before him, we can only imagine the fire that was in his eye. What did he do? Well, the meek and mild Christ, the one who was full of compassion and grace, demonstrated his zeal, if you will, the reverence and the worship in the temple. And so he took those little tables and had those coins and he turned them over. And the coins went flying. He turned over the chairs of those who were selling the doves. Mark tells us that he refused to let anybody else walk through the temple with merchandise to sell. He said, no more. And Luke tells us that he began to drive them out, all those who were intent on doing business in the temple. And so what he did is he put an abrupt end to commerce. He put an abrupt end to the whole idea of making money on the occasion of the Passover. That's what he did. Question number two, what did he say? What did he say? Look at verse 13. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a robber's den." Now, in the first part of this statement, Jesus is citing the book of Isaiah, the prophet, chapter 56 and verse 7, which reads this way, "For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." For all peoples. In fact, Mark adds the all peoples in his citation of what Jesus said. And so what Jesus is saying here to those in the temple is, I've driven out those who are intent on making money in the house of the Father, of my house, of the temple of God. I'm driving them out. I've driven them out. The idea of making money in the temple was repulsive to him. God gave the temple to his people and to all who would come to him for worship. It was a place for sanctuary from the things of the world, the evil of the world, the duplicity of the world. It was a place to come for God's people to meet with Almighty God and to worship him. And as they would come in, they would bring sacrifices. They would come into his house and they would offer prayer, praise, and worship, and thanksgiving. And God intended his temple as a place, as an outward expression of God's people to reflect their true intent, their true thinking in their hearts, their true desire to worship Almighty God. That's why worship is important. And so he was indignant. Christ was indignant. He said, "You're making the temple of God into a robber's den. You're the priest of the temple. And this is what you're doing to my house." And we can't help but think that Christ thought back to the days of Jeremiah, days that were very similar to his days. And I'm going to read for you from Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 8 through 11. Jeremiah stood in the gate of the temple, and he cried out this way. And he said this. He said, "Behold, you are trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and offer sacrifices to Baal, and walk after other gods that you have not known? Then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered.' Will you do that? That you may know that you may do these things and these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, be called a den of robbers?" That's what Jeremiah said. "Behold, I have seen it, declares the Lord." So even in the days of Jeremiah, those who refused to understand and accept the ways in the worship God had given to them in his temple was made very clear and very evident. And Jesus says, "You've made my house a robber's den." It's very much like those in the hills of Judea who would hide in the caves and seek to rob those of their money as they came by. "You've made my house into a robber's den." That's what he said. And having done these things, Jesus also reveals something very important. What does he reveal? First, let me just say this. We understand, as we come to this particular part of the text, that when Jesus cleared the temple, he did so with the authority of Almighty God in the second person of the Trinity. Incarnate God cleared the temple of those who would do it harm, of those who were abusing it, of its abominations. He did so in the authority of God. And what's interesting about that is it really almost caught the temple authorities by surprise. It caught them off guard. They really didn't know what to do. And for a moment, they were silent. Just the day before, he had entered triumphantly into the whole city. They were all praising Christ himself, and they were a little bit afraid, and so they didn't say anything. And after Jesus had made this exhibition and turned these tables over and pushed everyone out, drove everyone out, one might think that he was seething with anger at that moment, with blood in his hands. But that's not what he did. That's not what he did. Verse 14. Listen, verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. And what did he do? He healed. He healed. All had become quiet. Reverence for the temple had been restored by its owner. The authority of God in the person of Jesus Christ, he reached out with compassion to his people. He reached out with compassion to those who were in need, who needed healing. That's what. I'm mindful to think just 3 days before this occasion, as he entered Jericho, and these two men cried out. The one in particular, Bartimaeus, how did he cry out to Jesus? He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He was a lame man. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "What do you want from me?" He said, I want to regain my strength. I want to walk again. Have mercy." And Jesus healed. You see, the thing about Bartimaeus, he knew who Jesus was. The Son of David. He was the King. And he knew it by faith. And now Jesus in his temple, he's revealing himself very clearly to the temple guard, to the temple authorities, and they can't see it. We're reminded of John the Baptist, who had been imprisoned. And one can imagine John the Baptist in prison by himself. He's a man like us, prophet of God, but he had a moment of doubt, quite honestly. And he sent messengers to Jesus. And they asked him, "Are you the one? Are you the expected one? Or should we look for somebody else?" And Jesus told those who had come to reply to John this way. He says, "You tell John that the blind have received sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and their dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense of me." So he's revealing himself. The one who was to come. The one who was to heal. And so now, the eternal Son of God who became flesh, as he stood in the temple, all those who were in great need, those who needed to be healed, came to him, and he healed. So he's revealed himself. We've seen what he's done. We've seen what he said. We've seen how he's revealed himself. The next question is, how did the Jews respond to this? What if you were there? What if you were there and you saw this? How did the Jews respond? What did they do? Well, verse 15. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became what? Indignant. They were angry. The Jews saw exactly what Jesus had done. They saw the miracles he was performing, how he healed those who came to him. He did things they could not do. The eternal God who took on flesh was ministering to his people right in the temple. And they heard the children shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They were shouting to him in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," these children, as he was healing others. We remember that just the day before, he had rode into Jerusalem on that little donkey, and their parents, and these children, were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed be the one, he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Just the day before. And now they were shouting. They were shouting, "Hosanna." You saw this. But rather than looking to Christ, rather than looking to Jesus, rather than looking to what he had said and what he had done and how he revealed himself in the temple, their hearts were hardened and they became indignant. They became angry. Beloved, this is how the Word of God strikes us. The Word of Christ will either penetrate our hearts by the work of His Holy Spirit, and do a mighty work within us of the Word of God, well, many times for some will harden their hearts, will turn against it. How do we respond to the Word of Christ? These Jews are right there. They were right there. And they hardened their hearts. And Jesus continues in verse 16. Well, excuse me, the Jews say to Jesus now in verse 16, they said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" See, this is what makes them angry. They heard what these children were saying about Christ, Hosanna to the King, and they didn't like it. And they expected Christ to put a stop to it, but he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it, and it made them angry. They actually thought that he was blaspheming the temple because he refused to accept the praises of these little children. How could he do such a thing? And Jesus responds to them in verse 16. He says, "Yes, have you never read?" He's referring back to the scripture. "Have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?" Now Jesus clearly accepts their praise. He clearly accepts this worship without question, and they understand that. But secondly, he quotes the Jews' scripture on back to them. He refers back to the Word of God to affirm that what they said is true. What they said is absolutely true. Even out of the mouths of little babies, the Word of God can be spoken. Truth can be revealed. And he left them after he said this. He left them and he went out of the city to Bethany, and he spent the night here. So Jesus reveals to the Jews and all in the temple who he really is. And for the Jews, they rejected him. For the children, they praised him. For the Jews, they rejected him. And in a rather ominous way, Matthew records for us that Jesus, after he'd spoken these things, what did he do? He left them. He left them. He left them to their own devices. He left them to themselves. He left them to a life in eternity without Christ. When we think about these things, the reality of what happened and how the Jews responded to truth that was right before their eyes. And the question for us, truly, even as believers, how do we respond to Christ? Will we respond to Christ? Have we responded to Christ? Will we look to him? Will we look to how he's revealed to us in the scriptures and the reality of who he is, his love and his grace and his compassion and his zeal for worship, his zeal for holiness, and his willingness to give himself? Think about Christ, and for him, there's really no compromise. When he bids us to come to him, he wants us and tells us to give ourselves to him, to lay ourselves down to him, to trust him fully. That's what he calls us to do by faith. Recognizing our sin, turning away from it, turning to him alone. Lord, we thank you that you've given us worship. We thank you that you've given us the person of Christ himself. We thank you, Father, that we can put our trust fully in him for all eternity. We thank you that he is our Passover lamb and his blood covers a multitude, all of our sins forever. We pray, Lord, any here today who may not know you as Savior, Lord, you'd use your word, to penetrate their hearts, Lord, to give them light, allow them to see who you are, who Christ is our Lord and Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.